Thank you so much for being here this morning. I wanted to test your anxiety level with parking and seating. How about that? So thank you for your patience. I know parking is a little challenging this morning, but grateful that you kind of pushed through and that you are here this morning for this series. We had a great crowd in the first service, almost as many in the first service as we had in this service. So we're thankful for the Lord that he's sending us many people that we want to encourage, to give hope, and for people to find healing, people that are struggling with anxiety, with depression, and with suicide or with suicidal thoughts. So I know that this is, some of this stuff is kind of heavy stuff. You know, I'll talk a little bit this morning about suicide, but mostly in a couple of weeks, depression, you know, anxiety. So today what I'll do is I'll talk about anxiety and I'll give you kind of a biblical foundation for how I believe God wants us to deal with anxiety and how we can find victory over anxiety. And then next week I'll talk about depression, and then the third week I'll talk also, really those 2 weeks, about depression and suicide will be the third week, also probably a little bit the next week also. What I teach you today on how to really find victory over anxiety and what God's plan for us works well also in struggling with depression. So a lot of the same ideas and principles, right? And I know that for many, anxiety does lead to times of depression. So one way we can help deal with depression is by understanding how we can deal with anxiety, and then that can help deal with depression. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Listen to this verse. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So that is what God wants to do, to keep you in perfect peace. He doesn't want you to allow anxiety, depression, he doesn't want you to allow anxiety to take this stronghold in your life that keeps you from living free and living this abundant life that he has for us. Now, I want to say right from the start, let me just give you kind of some upfront stuff before we really jump into kind of the what God has to say. Of course, I'm going to build a biblical foundation for this. Every message will be. I'm certainly, you know, that's who I am, that's who we are, and I'm a firm believer that the way to healing is in God and God's word and his foundation, okay? That being said, as we start there, I also want to say when it comes to dealing with anxiety, when it comes to dealing with depression, maybe suicidal thoughts, we start with a biblical foundation and we build there and we follow the path God has for us. Sometimes that leads to needing medicine to help you deal with anxiety or depression. Certainly as you're struggling with suicidal thoughts because of the depression, sometimes it means that you go to a doctor and talk to them about what's going on, and they help you with medicine. So I do think that there are times we need to have that to help us. Therapy and counseling. Certainly God uses counselors and therapists to help us walk through difficult times. And sometimes all of those things wrap together. I would say this, that I don't necessarily think that just if you're dealing with depression, you immediately run out and get a medicine to help with that, right? I think what we want to do is we start with understanding what God's word has to say about it, and then we may move into that. So I want you to know that I am not a person who thinks that Christians don't get depressed. I think Christians get depressed. I think Christians deal with anxiety, and I think some Christians, unfortunately, commit suicide. I mean, that's just the reality of it, right? Unfortunately, and that happens. And so what I want to do today and over these next few weeks is help come alongside and encourage you to give you some hope as you're battling, as you're dealing with it, depression, anxiety, maybe some of you wrestling with suicidal thoughts. I want to say this also. If you're here today, now probably the third week more so than today, I'll talk about suicide and I'll talk about how we encourage those and walk with those who are struggling with that. But I want you to know this, that if you were here today, you came today, you maybe you got a mail out or you saw it on Facebook or somebody invited you and you're dealing with suicide, you're having suicidal thoughts and you're thinking about killing yourself, I want you to know today, you need to, you must, you have to reach out to somebody and talk to them about that, okay? Talked about. Now, I am here. Part of what I want to do is be available to anybody and everybody who needs help, whatever the struggle is, anxiety, depression, suicide. Up here is my email address, okay? And it's on the back of this sheet that you got when you came in. That email address goes straight to me. It goes straight to my phone. Doesn't go through the office. Nobody screens it. You go through the website. It's screened. It goes to the office. But that goes right to me personally. So if you are here today and you are struggling with suicidal thoughts, I want you to reach out to me. I want you to reach out to me and tell me you're struggling. Let me help you. Let me help you with that, okay? Now, maybe you say, well, you know what? I don't know you, man. I just showed up here. I got something in the mail, and I don't want to reach out to you. That's fine, too, but you need to reach out to someone. It may be a friend. It may be a parent. It may be a counselor. Maybe a teacher, but somebody. Please, God has you here to hear that very thing today. That you need to reach out to somebody and you need to talk with someone and let us come alongside you and let us help you. On the back of this sheet, you know it's going to be, you know, if you, when you came in, if you got a bulletin, we ran out because the first service was so big, but we ran out of the bulletins that have the takeaways on there. So there's like 6 takeaways. You know, it might be a long service when I make another note sheet for you in addition to the takeaways, right? I did that just because you may need it if you're a note taker. But more importantly, on the back of this piece of paper, on the back of this, if you didn't get one when you came in, there's some there when you leave. On the back of this piece of paper, you have my email address at the top that I'll really, if I can, whether it's dealing with the suicidal thoughts or maybe anxiety or depression, that you reach out to me and let me help you. We have biblically-based resources. I have some books there. I have biblically-based counselors there that you can reach out to. And then the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 24 hours a day. Certainly, if you're struggling, call that lifeline. Reach out to someone. I'm not the guy either. I'm not going to be here just to tell you, hey, you know what? You need to pray more. You need to come to church more often, and you need to read your Bible more, and you'll get you know everything will be okay. I think we can always go to church more. We can always read our Bible more, and we can always pray more. But sometimes, again, we still need help. We still need people around us. We need medicine. We need doctors. We need therapy. We need counseling. We need help. Right? And so that's what I want to encourage you. If you're struggling, you know, if you're struggling with that anxiety or depression, that you know that we are here. I am here to help you. Let me just read this from what one writer says. As Christians are not immune to anxiety. One tragic notion that persists in some Christian circles is the idea that problems like anxiety are primarily, if not completely, spiritual in nature. Many Christians sincerely believe that a person should not experience anxiety disorder if he or she just has enough faith and trust in God. That is simply not true. That is simply not true. The same with depression. So as we start, let me give you 5 things before I jump into the scripture passages. I'll go fast. I'll probably talk a little bit faster than I normally do just because there's a lot of information here, although there is not a service after us, so I'm not sure if that's good or bad for you. And the Cowboys don't kick off till 3, so we got everything working in my favor, right? And your anxiety level is just raised up a little bit. But so let me tell you in all seriousness these 5 things. I want you to know. This is a safe place, Grace Point Church, for you. It's no accident you're here today. You've struggled. And God wants to help you. God wants to free you. You need to get help. And he has you here to hear that this is a safe place. The second thing I would tell you is this. I want you to know, and I need you to believe this, you are not alone. In your struggle, you are not alone. Over 40 million people in the U.S. suffer with anxiety and anxiety disorders. 40 million people. 300 million people worldwide struggle with depression. 300 million people worldwide struggle with depression. And the World Health Organization worldwide says someone commits suicide approximately every 40 seconds. every 40 seconds. I don't even want to add up what that means by the time the service is over. So very real problems. You are not alone. If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, just look around you. Good night. You couldn't find a parking place. The first service was the exact same way. What's that tell you? That tells you you're not alone. So know that, because that's what the adversary, we'll talk about next couple weeks, is the spiritual warfare element, and the reality of that makes you isolate you, makes you feel like you're alone, and you don't talk about it, don't reach out. And you know, sometimes just among churches, and I'm not being negative towards churches, or I mean, it starts here with me that you know, in churches, I think at times we don't talk about depression. Don't talk about it. People don't feel like they can talk about it, or they can share about it, or anxiety, how overwhelming, debilitating it could be. Certainly not if you have had thoughts about suicide or taking your own life. It's like, I can't tell anybody that. Right? So we've all just been real quiet. And so what I want to do this morning and these next few weeks, and even beyond, it's not just a three-week series, even beyond, is that we create and ask God to create here a culture where if you're struggling, you know you can be honest and you can share it. And you're gonna find that encouragement. You're going to find hope, which leads me to the next thing. Number three is this. There is no judgment here. There's no judgment here. Right? That we're willing to talk about this and bring it to the forefront to get help. There is no shame. That's the fourth thing. There's no shame here. You should not feel ashamed with the struggle that you're having. Depression, anxiety, struggling with ending life decisions, thoughts. There is no shame here. And then this thing, and then we'll move on. I want you to know, and I believe this with everything that is within me, no matter how dark the night or how deep the valley, no matter where you find yourself in the midst of the struggle, there is hope. Amen? That's why we're here. There is hope. It is time for you to get help and time for you to get healing. God doesn't want you to be controlled and to miss out on this abundant life that he says that I have for you. And so we want to do that at Grace Point. We want to come alongside you, and we want to help you and encourage you. You know, we think about anxiety, and it can mean a lot of different things. I think sometimes we certainly deal with kind of maybe surface anxiety, for lack of a better term, where we all deal with anxious things. Sometimes if we're getting ready to take a test, we might deal with some anxiety. If we're getting ready to give a big presentation at work, we have anxiety. Now that football season is here, college football season, you know, if you're an A&M fan, last night you had some way, your anxiety went way up there in that game, right? And there's a lot of kind of normal things that bring anxiety into our life. I get anxious and deal with anxiety. I've been preaching for almost 30 years. Still, when I come up to preach, you know, I still have, you know, anxiousness, nervousness, maybe before you play an athletic event or you know, have a performance, and you know, you get anxious, right? So there's that, and I think God wants us. He wants to invade us and help us deal with that too, right? No, I think there's no question about that. But it touches, I think, to a certain extent, touches all of us, some deeper, which I'll get to, than others. It's no respecter of person. I read just a number of people as I started doing research that deal with anxiety disorders. Emma Stone, David Beckham, Kevin Love, who plays the NBA, come out about his struggle with, you know, deep anxiety. Taylor Swift, Adele, the list goes on and on of people that have come out and talk about anxiety disorders that they struggle with. I myself, I've said before, if you've been here for a while, a number of years ago, I really battled anxiety at a deep level, to where it was impacting me and controlling me and decisions I make and made. And so I had to kind of work my way through to understand, you know, how I can find victory over that. And I would say I have, for the most part. I mean, I still have my battles. I still have my days. I still have my seasons. I still have my struggles. But I feel like I'm equipped to deal with that, to where it doesn't become overwhelming and debilitating. And I think that's where God wants to get you, is to where it's not controlling your life. It's not debilitating. He wants to free us from anxiety. Jesus, we're going to see today, Jesus talks about anxiety. Back in the day, biblical times, he talks about anxiety. David talked about it. Peter talked about it. Paul talked about it, of how to deal with anxiety. So it was a challenge back then also. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to go fairly quickly Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, 25, verse 25. If not, the verses will be up on the screen here. Let me give you some working definitions of this, okay? And anxiety, a general term for several disorders that cause nervousness, fear, apprehension, and worrying. These disorders affect how we feel and behave and can cause physical symptoms. Mild anxiety is vague and unsettling, while severe anxiety can seriously affect day-to-day living. Anxiety. Let's talk for a minute about anxiety attacks and panic attacks. Some of you, I'm sure, have had or have panic attacks or anxiety attacks. An anxiety attack, people may feel fearful, apprehensive, and their heart begins to race, or they feel short of breath. But it's typically short-lived when the stressor circumstantially goes away. That is typically what's termed as an anxiety attack. Panic attack, on the other hand, doesn't come necessarily in reaction to specific stressors or circumstantial. Sometimes it is just unprovoked, and they can happen without warning or reason. They cause sudden fear and extreme nervousness for, the medical word says, 10 minutes or more. Physical symptoms intensify the attack: sweating, racing heart, rapid pulse, feeling faint or as if one is choking, and perhaps worst of all, the sense of losing your mind. That's a panic attack. That many people deal with that, you know, daily or weekly. The impact of anxiety on us. There's a book, I've put it on the back of your sheet of paper, called I'm Not Supposed to Feel This Way. And they explain in that book what happens to a person when they're overwhelmed by anxiety. They say this: in anxiety, the person often overestimates the threat of danger, the threat or danger they are facing, and at the same time usually underestimates their own capacity to cope with the problem. So what's we're going to bring in, you know, the coping skills, if you will, you know, biblical foundation and how Jesus is telling us to deal with this, right? John Piper, great theologian, says it, brings it home, says the loss of confidence, security in God. This is anxiety, the loss of confidence, security in God, leading to feelings of uneasiness or foreboding that something harmful is going to happen. So we all deal to a certain extent with anxiety. What we want to get is we don't want anxiety to take up residence in our lives to control us. This is with us as adults, but also the rise of anxiety disorders is just going up quickly among children, among teenagers, teenagers and depression, which I'll talk about next week. They're dealing with depression, anxiety, and certainly, unfortunately, the drastic rise of teen suicides just continues to escalate, right? And so we want to see what the answers are. We want to find hope. We want to find healing. We want to start with this biblical foundation. So I'm going to give you some takeaways. And then at the end, I'm going to give you some even more practical steps, biblically based, but very practical things that you can do. Now, listen, here's the deal. I can't give you a message of how to win over anxiety in 30 minutes or less, right? And then you walk out of here and it's all gone. But I can give you biblical truth and pray, which I have, and hope and pray and believe that something in here today, you're not going to remember everything. I'm going to give you so much information, you're not going to remember everything. But there's going to be something here for you that God, I believe, is going to press on your heart. You're going to grab a hold of, and through God's leadership, his power, his strength, he's going to help you find victory over this anxiety. And then you're going to come back next week, and we're going to talk about depression, and I'll tie those in, because much of what I talk about today in anxiety, also depression. And then the week after that, and then even beyond, you know, this is a three-week series, but at Grace Point, we're really praying about what are next steps for us, how to create ministries to continue to help all of us and others with anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts, okay? So it's not just, it's a three-week series, but we'll go beyond in terms of resources and help to people who are struggling. All right, here we go. Ready? Verse 25, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." I catch this last part here. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? See, when it just comes about that, that's when our anxiety increases. Takeaway number one, be careful what you value. Be careful what you are valuing. I think this is a value statement. And here's the deal. The more value you give to things, the more anxiety that accompanies those things. If I'm holding too tight to things that I shouldn't be holding on to, I'm valuing them too tightly, then I will have an increase in anxiety. And where we're going with this, what you're going to see is down in verse 33, where he's going to point us to, is he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What he's saying is, this is what you need to value the most, right? And when you value that, seeking first the kingdom of God, right, then your anxiety increases. When we value things in this world and we're seeking the things of the world more than the kingdom of God, we all do that. I do that. But we have to catch, when we do that, then it increases our anxiety. The more value you give to certain things, the more anxiety will accompany those things. The more we value something, the more anxiety is attached to it. Let me give you an example. So 2 years ago, if you were here, we had a different carpet in here. It was like a light colored carpet. I'm not sure who made that decision when we changed. I must confess, I looked good at the time, okay? But then what happens is, and I say this in a loving way, you come in here and with all kinds of liquid, and it spills all over the place. And so, man, it just got bad because we were using this, there's a lot of traffic in here, and we use it for all kinds of kids' things and stuff. And so it finally got to a point, at first everything's new, and I'm like, hey, and then we start to spill stuff, and there's coffee, and there's Coke, and I just didn't care anymore. I told, bring the red Kool-Aid in, whatever you want to bring in. I don't really care. It's just so gross. It doesn't matter, right? And then what happens? I didn't place any value on it anymore. I don't care what you do with it. It doesn't matter. Come in without your lids. I'm not going to tell you to repent and leave. So then what we do is we put this new carpet down. And we put this new carpet down. I'm looking around this carpet. I like this carpet. This carpet smells new and it looks new. And so what does Pastor Dave do? He instituted a put a lid on it rule. Remember that? Put a lid on it. In love, put a lid on it. Right? You walk in here without a lid, no Jesus, get out. I'm just kidding. Just kidding you. Seriously. Yeah, I am. I'm just kidding you. No. So, right? Why is that? Because, man, I'm valuing the carpet. Now it's kind of gotten bad, so I don't really care anymore, but it was a good illustration for a while. So, but you see what I mean? When we value it, then my anxiety was increasing when I'd see people rolling in with all the stuff and no lids. So let's say you're driving a car that's all beat up and, man, it's been wrecked 4 or 5 times. The paint's all scraped up. It's an old car. You're just driving it because it's getting you down the road. You're getting good gas mileage. You don't care what it looks like. Man, it is a junker in every sense of the word. And you roll up here on the church parking lot and you leave today, and as you back out, you back over one of our signs. You aren't going to get out and go, oh, my car. Oh, man. Oh, my poor car. Right? I mean, we're going to make you pay for the sign, but I'm just going to say, hey, I'm sorry about your car, but look at it, right? So, but next week, you come next week and you roll up in a brand new car, and you back in there. And after you go out today, after your message on anxiety, somebody has scratched your car. Now, what's going to happen? Your anxiety is going to go up because you value it. And then you're going to go, I remember Pastor Dave's message. Then it goes back down. But you're going to be a little more upset. Why? Because you value that. Now, stay with me on this. I'm not saying you shouldn't value anything. What I am saying is, when we value the wrong things, our anxiety increases because of what he says right here. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You see, and there's more than what you see right here. There's more than what you see. So if I value comfort to an unhealthy extreme, then anything that threatens my comfort will bring me anxiety. If I value the opinion of other people to an unhealthy place, when I'm in a situation that I might not get the approval of others, then what happens? I get anxiety because I've given them value. I've given their opinion unhealthy value, and it increases my anxiety. If my health is the most valuable thing to me, I become anxious and overcome with anxiety when sickness strikes me. If I value to an unhealthy place, moving quickly and easily through the traffic of Denton, Texas, then when I start to drive, I will have anxiety. So we want to be careful what we are valuing. In verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I think that's what he's saying is, isn't life about more than food and clothes? What you see is what he's saying. And when we begin to value God and the kingdom of God, and he is our foundation more than the things that he has created, then we find our anxiety begins to lessen. Idolatry, I-D-O-L-A-T-R-Y, idolatry leads us to anxiety. So we want to be careful about what we're valuing. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So Jesus is saying, now don't miss the big picture of life. If you do, man, you're gonna be anxious about everything. If your values are based on what the world's doing, it's going to increase your anxiety. One writer, life was not primarily for physical pleasures, but for something greater, the enjoyment of God. Life was not given for the approval of man, but for something greater, the approval of God. See, those are value statements. Life was not given for extension on this earth, but for something greater, eternity with God in the age to come. That's what we value, you see. And when we do, right, that decreases our anxiety. Look at verse 26. He goes on, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Number two, takeaway number two, real easy. Learn from the birds. Learn from the birds. So when you're out and doing life this week, I hope that God brings this back to your mind. When you see birds flying by, you go, I remember what pastor said that the Bible says about that. And what I'm saying is that we learn that we are more valuable than birds. And if God, what Jesus is saying, if God provides for those birds, don't you realize that in every situation, God will make a way for you? How much more does he value you? Just that truth. Now, birds are active. They work. They do a lot, right? Right? They're not lazy. But at the same time, notice it says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Right? So God provides for them. And Jesus is saying, look at these birds. As you look at them, right, you're much more valuable. God's taking care of them than he's going to take care of you. Look at verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Amen to that. Takeaway number three, anxiety gets us nowhere. Anxiety gets us nowhere. I know that truth for me. You know, when I'm struggling with anxiety, the last thing I need somebody to say to me is, it's not going to help you. Worry's not going to help you. Or, I don't know why you're worried about that. Or, you know, you need to just stop worrying. You know, that's like, yeah, it's not like people who deal with anxiety get up in the morning and say, man, I can't wait to worry about stuff. You realize that, you non-anxiety people, right? I mean, people who struggle with anxiety, they don't want to be anxious about it. And it's much more than just stop worrying about it. So we have to be careful. This is in week three. Stay with me, that how we come alongside people who are struggling, right? And I'm not saying, you know, there's a line we don't want to enable, right? But at the same time, we want to come alongside and not judge or criticize. We want to love and understand. And so one of the things for me is, as I'm reading this, is to God reminds me, hey, anxiety gets you nowhere. He reminded me of this, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I was sitting at 6:45 in the morning in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. And there was five other people in that line. I thought, what are these people doing here at 6:45 a.m. on a Saturday? Of course, I was there too. But I thought, what? I should have just drove right up. And I'm sitting in line, and I'm telling you what, it's kind of a long wait. Usually at Chick-fil-A, you don't wait because they know that's a sin against God. So they move you through really fast. That's why they move you through so fast. What were you thinking? They know that. And so I'm sitting in the Chick-fil-A, and I'm sitting there. I'm looking at my clock. It's been at least 4 minutes. And I'm not moving. And I start to get anxious. And I make sure my windows roll up, and I'm talking to the line in front of me. This line needs to move. If you keep those windows up, nobody hears you, you know. This line needs to move. What is the problem here? And I came this close to honking my horn in the Chick-fil-A line. I'm pretty sure that's a sin against God himself. I'm pretty sure. You can't do that in Chick-fil-A. Everybody plays nice. And I was sitting there, right? I have no place to go at 6:45 a.m. I mean, I knew that college game day started at 8 a.m. I had an hour and 15 minutes to get back. My house is like 10 minutes away. But still, I want to get this thing. And it's kind of like, you know, this. And this is what I want to happen for you and to me more, even more often, is the truth. It's kind of like this passage came right. I've been studying it. Came right to my mind. And it's like I started talking to myself, or God talked to me, and I actually listened. You know, all your worry is not going to make this line move any faster. Now listen, God can tell me that, but I don't need you to tell me that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? We don't need to tell, no matter what, how you're crazy, it's not going to make this line move any faster. I know that, okay? God tells me that. Hey, no matter what you're doing, it's not going to change the situation, right? And so I think it's a good reminder that anxiety, that we're getting worked up, and I can get worked up, I can, with the best of you, you know, and it doesn't get us anywhere, right? And so it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Kind of like this picture. I want to show this picture. Look at that picture. Just dwell there for a minute. Look at that thing. Huh. Just look at that. I mean, which way do you turn to even try to swing is what I'm thinking. I guess you'd go either way. I mean, you hurt really hard on your back or your feet if you turn the other way. But, you know, you want to go, man, that makes no sense, right? It makes no sense. Kind of like anxiety, though, I think, you know. It's just like, that's not helping me. That's not going to work. Anxiety doesn't change the situation. And that's what he's saying here. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? All right, let's go to the next verse, 28, verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Now here it is. Catch this. Oh, you of little faith. So takeaway number four, where's your trust? Where's your faith? Now here's the deal. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. So in the first century, they made bread every day. Give us this day our daily bread. And when they made the bread, they would pull up the grass and the flowers to fuel the ovens. And so Jesus is saying, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Kind of like the birds. Right, look at how he takes care of them. And now look at how beautiful he's made all this that's going to die the next day or that day. Right? How much more does he care for you? Where is your faith, and are you trusting God? There's a story in the Bible about the disciples. They were with Jesus on a boat, on a lake. A storm came up. They were fearing for their lives. They thought they were going to drown. That's how bad the storm was. And the Bible says that they went down below to wake up Jesus, which in itself is a whole other sermon, to wake up Jesus. Wake him up. They thought they were going to lose their life. They were going to drown. The storm was horrible. Jesus is asleep. They wake him up, the Bible says. Jesus steps up, steps forward, and he speaks to the wind and the waves, and he calms the seas, and they're safe. And then he says to them, what he's saying to us, oh, you have little faith. Where is your faith? Now, here's the deal. The disciples, their faith and their trust was in the boat more than it was in Jesus. So anytime we place our faith or trust in created things more than the Creator, we will worry. Amen. That's what happens. So where's my trust? Maybe I'm trusting myself more than God. Maybe I'm trusting something else or someone else more than God. When I'm doing that, that's a warning light. Anxiety sets in because what? Where's my trust? Oh, you of little faith. Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But, now here's the practical, here's the action part we're going to finish on. Seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So takeaway number five is shift your focus. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Shift your focus, right? So that's a value. I think that's a value statement. We're seeking first the kingdom of God because we value the kingdom of God and things of God and God himself most. Right? And when we do that, all these things we're worrying about will be provided to us. What are we valuing? Where is our focus? And so what he's saying is to shift your focus, right, to seeking first the kingdom of God. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Takeaway number six. That's a tough one. Don't run ahead. Live today. Live for this, the here and now. That's what he's saying. Let's not worry about tomorrow. Let me just use this to kind of illustrate. We'll say that this is today. And this, just to give you a visual maybe. I don't know. I'm praying something will encourage you today. And I need something to help you. So let's say this is the day. All right, here's today. This is where we are right now. And so what I like to do, if I'm not careful, is I like to think about everything that might happen. That's the future, sometime down the road. Matter of fact, sometimes if I'm not careful, I find myself going there of all the things that might or could happen. And I'm going to just take it all, get it all on my mind and pick it all up of this, that. And then I kind of like to bring it back here. And then I just like to maybe sit and think about it all during the day of things that might happen, things that maybe won't happen, things that I'm worried about, this, that, right? In the future. And what Jesus is saying is, look, this is here and now. He's saying, stay right here. Let's stay right here. Let's focus right here. Don't run ahead. Now, the good news is when we get there, he'll be there too. But he's right here right now. He's saying there's no reason you need to go there. We could even move it. We could even do this. We could even go, let's just move it closer and say this is tomorrow. I could say, yeah, but man, you know, I want to build a case. I go, yeah, but that's tomorrow. That's like close. And there's some real stuff I need to worry about. I mean, you don't know what's, I mean, right? And we can, but he's saying even here, he's saying to stay right here. This is today. He doesn't even say, he talks about tomorrow, not even, he talks about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. So when we do grab all this stuff, even if we go here and pick up this and come back here, and then he said, there's no strength for this day. We're certainly missing out on this day. Now, some people even do this, and I'll talk about this more next week, but some people, you get here, and this is maybe, this is today, and what you like to start doing is, we like to start looking back. Worrying about that happened in the past, or that failure, or that mistake, or that, right? And we're keep looking back, so we can't even look forward, because we keep looking back. Right? Paul talks about that in Philippians, forgetting what lies behind, right? So what Jesus is saying is, just in the day, right? Sufficient for the day. Don't run ahead. Live for today. Now, I'm going to finish this. And here we go. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you six words that this is the practical, the action stuff. So I think Jesus, he talks about the truth about anxiety, that it won't help us, that it won't benefit, and see how God, look around and see how God's providing. Now, I interpret this, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, here's the action part, right? Have all these truths. These truths are good to know. We need to have these truths to help us deal with anxiety. Now, here's the action part. Here's what we do to help us find this victory, okay? And that's what I want to give you, these six words. The first word is build, and it's build a solid foundation, okay? And that foundation, I believe, needs to be God and God's word. That needs to be your foundation. No structure, we know that, just even literally can withstand the winds of adversity without a solid foundation. And our lives are no different. We need to have a firm foundation to deal with the winds of anxiety or the winds of depression or suicidal thoughts or a loss or grief or a number of other things. All right, I'm going to read one verse to you. Matthew chapter 7 says this. Jesus says this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. Okay, so you're hearing his words today. So you have a choice. I have a choice. We hear the words of God and we go out. We're either going to do them or we're not. Watch what he says. So everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, not just hears them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew. And anxiety came and depression crashed in and suicidal thoughts came in and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do, man. That's the answer, is our foundation. Because we're all going to have the storms of life. And he's saying, when you hear the word of God and you build your life on the word of God, right, he said, it will not fall. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came. Same rain, same floods came, same winds and beat against that house. And it fell and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall. It starts with building. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? How are we doing it? Building the foundation. You being here, every one of you being here today, you've taken that step. Every one of you being here today. Today, you're seeking first the kingdom of God by being in this place. Second, cast. I say, go fishing. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Go fishing. When I was younger, I used to go fishing with my dad. I put the bobber on. I put the worm, the night crawler, and I throw it out there. I'd leave it out there for a good 15 seconds. And I didn't get a bite. I'd reel it in. I throw it back out there again. I waited a good 10 seconds. I got nothing. I reel it in. My dad says, son, leave it out there. I said, wait, nothing's happening. He goes, you've got to leave it out there for the fish to come. Wait on the fish. I said, I don't like this. I don't want to play. No, but you got to be still. Cast and reel. Now look, cast all your anxiety on him, right? So praying, talking. We'll talk more next week about this. So when I'm struggling, when anxiety or fear of something that brings anxiety into my life, of something that's coming up, I'm praying and I'm asking God to help me with it. But then I'm not taking it back. I'm casting, because I'm good at that. I cast it, and then I feel some peace, but then I take it back on again. I start worrying about it. And I cast and worry. He's saying cast. Okay, we got to cast, and we need to leave it there. All right, sometime. And if nothing else, just keep casting. And you realize you took it back, cast it back. Cast, all right? Number three, talk to others. When you're dealing with anxiety, this is what we want to do at Grace Point, is bring it to the forefront, you know, and be willing to talk to others about your struggle. And then as we hear that, we encourage people. We love people. Our children, if they're struggling, if they come to you and they say, I'm struggling with anxiety, mom or dad, I'm struggling with depression or suicide, you love them and you help them. You create that safe place in your family that they can go if they're struggling. I've given you my email. It's on the back of that, so remember that as a resource. Number four, remember the faithfulness of God in the past. That brings us hope in the present. Remember God's faithfulness. If you go to maybe you need to go to the scriptures to remember how he was faithful, right? And then in your life, live today. We've already talked about that. Number five, we have a tendency to dwell on tomorrow. Now, let me tell you, there's a game you need to quit playing. I play it. I can probably outplay all of you, but we all need to stop. Anxiety suffers. We need to stop playing the what if game. Okay? I'll beat y'all. I'm good. It's nothing to be proud of. Man, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? Oh my gosh. What if this happens? And oh man, well, what if this? And what if they do and what if they do? And man, before you know it, what's been this small problem has become this overwhelming sense of anxiety that you can't eat. You're sweating, you're irritable, you're scared, and it starts to overtake you. And it's all over here. What if? Right? So we have to stop playing that game. We have to live for today. And it takes us to the last one. We need to learn to relax or be calm. There needs to be this discipline of solitude, of calmness. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. We have, if you're a member here, you know this, but a lot of guests. We have four children, Karen and I, three boys, and our daughter's 2 years older than our oldest boy, and the boys are a year apart. And so they're older now, college, married, stuff like that. But when they were younger, you know, it was something. So, and one of them, I won't name them because I they're older now, so they care. So, I won't name him, but one of them, when he was about 2, he used to get up every night and come, you know, he'd wake up and come into our bedroom. And he mastered this skill of passing over Karen, my wife. He would pass over and come to my side. I said, son, we don't do that. No. So one particular night, I'm laying in bed and I'm sound asleep, and he walks up. He's about two, so he walks up to the side of the bed. And so as I'm laying down, you know, he's standing next to me, and his face is right here. I mean, it's right there, you know, because he's. And I'm sound asleep, and he goes, "Dad!" like that. And I'm like, "Whoa!" You know, and I sit up, and I'm like trying to get my bearings. Like, what in the world? My heart rate's going 100 miles an hour. My blood pressure's off the charts, and I'm breathing really fast. And he says, you know, I can't get back to sleep. And depending on the night, I'll just be all fully transparent. Depending on how I was feeling, I got one or two options here. I can get up and take him back to his bed and tell him, stay in your bed. You're not supposed to be in your bed. If you get up again, go see mommy. But you got that option. Or B, you just let him get in the bed. I was tired. I went with B that night. So I threw him in the bed, and between Karen and I, and it was one of these deals, okay? Where God just really spoke to me. And so you may be like, well, you know, I don't really get that. But it's one of these things on this verse where God really spoke to me. I'm sure you have some of those times. So I put him in the bed between us, and like within 15 seconds, he's lights out. And he's just, you know, lights out. I, on the other hand, you know, my blood pressure and heart rate's still sky high. And I'm like, you know, I want to go back to sleep. And so I'm not going to sleep. And so I'm trying to calm everything down, literally. And so I look over at him, and he's sound asleep. And you know how the kids are when they're babies and they're asleep. They're angels, right? The problem is they always wake up. But they're like little angels. And I mean, that was one of those moments, right, where I just kind of looked over there. It was totally quiet. You know, of course, 2:30 in the morning, so it was dark, and it was quiet. And I could hear him breathing. And I could just see his little chest going up and down. And it was just one of those parent moments where I just thought, man, God is amazing. Look what God is, creator. And how often do I take for granted all the things that he has created and has done for me? Because when I wake up, I'm going, right? I'm fast-paced. But so it was that moment where I was being still. And God reminded me of who he is. Be still and know that I am God. So I think there are times, God, look, there's times when this anxiety thing, there's so much noise, literally and figuratively, that we've got to fight for this discipline of solitude to be quiet at times and know that he is God. Because there is so much noise. Okay, last thing, I'm not kidding, it's 11:45 and I need to stop, but I want to play a game. Let's play a game together. So we have a game at home we play called Catchphrase. We play it with our family. Okay, good. You can't play. So Catchphrase, I don't explain it very well, but basically we have teams. And so there's six of us in our family. So it's me, and then somebody who's not on my team is next to me. Then my team member, not on a team, right? So both sides of me are non-team members. So what we'll do in a minute is I'm going to push the start button, and I give clues for them to try to guess, you know, what is popped up on the screen. And my team tries to guess. When they guess it, then I push next, and I pass it to the person next to me who's not on my team. He or she begins to do that with their team to try to guess. Once they guess it, he or she passes it to the next person. Until the buzzer goes off, whoever is holding the catchphrase game, when the buzzer goes off, the other team gets the point. Comprende? Okay, you got it? You don't seem very confident. Okay, just play with me. So you're like, get to the point. So we're going to play, all right? So I'm going to give you clues, and you shout them out, and we're going to see how many we can get before the buzzer goes off, okay? And to see if you beat the first service. There's $100 for every person at stake, whoever wins, first or second service, okay? All right, ready? Here we go. You can shout it out. The category is everything, because it's easier. You have some, you know. So you shout it out, and when we get it, I'm going to push it, and you listen to my clues, okay? All right, wait. I don't like that one. Oh, I don't like that one either. Good night. Okay, this is what you do. Let's say in athletics, before the game starts, what do? Warm up, yes, okay. Okay, this is a day, January, February, March.
April.
And it's first.
April.
Okay, good, good. I don't like that one. I don't like that one either. Goodness sakes. Okay, this is what you do every morning. Hopefully when you get up in the morning, because your breath stinks. Okay, that's good. All right, and if you get sick at work and you need to take some time off, one thing they call it is what? A what? What? Yes, leave of absence. Yes. Okay. And if you go into an auto store and the rubber thing's on your car, but you had a flat, you have a flat. That's good. Okay, the buzzer went off. You beat the first service. Good job. That's awesome. Okay. $100. See Guy Earl. Okay. Now, here's the reason I'm doing this. I know you're thinking, man, that's just, this dude is really weird. So here's what I want you to notice. When you play this game, and I noticed when we were playing it at home, you couldn't hear it, but I'm going to push. Now, this is what you know. Can you hear that? So that's how it starts out when you're given clues. And every time we'd get clues, we'd be like, so this is something that, you know, you do January, February, March. And then you hear that. See what's happening? And then what everybody, January, February, March. And then it's a certain day. And then as it gets closer to going off, everybody, their intensity would increase. Now it'll go higher. Now, if you haven't gotten it yet, you know, you're screaming at the people. Come on! This is what it is! What's your problem? Now, listen. It gets even higher. There's a point to this. And I think, well, one more gear. See? But you can hear this when you're playing with a small group and you start to scream and yell, and they're screaming and yelling back at you. And then the buzzer goes off. Right? Now, here's the deal. Yeah. I don't know what you just said, but it was funny. Okay. I got to finish. It's like 11:50. So here's my point. That when we're playing that game, and I do the same thing, like people start out like, yeah, it's this. And then as it gets closer, the intensity. Because here's why. Because of that crazy buzzing noise. That's why it happens, right? Because you start to get more intense because you're listening to that. And it's the noise is increasing. And so stay with me. So it's just like in the movies, okay? You already know this. I'm not spoiling it for you, I'm sure. If I am, I'm sorry. But when you go to a scary movie, I can always tell you when it's going to be a scary part. You know why? Because of the music. And the music starts to pick up. Or it's just scary music. And I always lean over to my wife and I'll say, honey, it's about the scary part is coming. It's coming. I'm warning you, it's coming. And it comes and she says, you know, and then I told you it's coming. It doesn't matter, you tell me. It's still scary. I always know it's coming because of the volume of the music or the change of the music. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons we, not the only, deal with anxiety is because of the volume of the world around us. I'm telling you, that is why this be still and know. Because when you're running 100 miles an hour, you forget. And when you're able to be still and know that I am God. I haven't done a study on this. There are studies on it. I've read a few, but they haven't been exhaustive, so I probably won't use it. But I've heard others say to me that they believe, some of these studies believe that there's a link between social media and the increase in teen suicide. Noise. Maybe not literally at that point, but figuratively. You know what I mean? All the noise that comes from social media, man. And so we've lost this discipline. I do too, man. I have to, you know, I better, if I don't, not intentional, make time because I want to go, go, go. But we've lost this discipline, right, of solitude to where we can be still and know that he is God. Now, here's what you say. Some people would say to me, and I've had them say to me, and I understand it because I used to deal with it too. Well, look, Pastor Dave, here's the deal. When I'm quiet, that's when it's the scariest for me because that's when the thoughts are in my head, man. That's when I can't get them. I understand that. That's why the be still in knowing and seeking first kingdom of God. That's why this week I want to encourage you that you find that time. It may only be 5 or 10 minutes. I'm not saying it can be for an hour. And what you do is I want to help you. I want you to take this sheet of paper that's at the doors when you leave. I've listed at the top, it says battling anxiety, and it has verses for general anxiety, okay? And then I've listed specific categories. Battling anxiety about feeling weak, about difficult decisions, about opponents, about afflictions, about aging, about death. All these are scripture verses. I've written out the scripture verse. You don't even have to look it up. It'd be good if you did that. But if you're at a work or something and you just need the scriptures, or sitting in your car and you're going to be still, and then what you do is while you're being still, you begin to read through these verses. This is the part of knowing I am God. Be still and know that I am God. This is the part that helps you do that. It helps you to know. And it helps our anxious spirits be calm when we turn down the noise that is around us. Where's the hope? If you're taking notes, my hope is in knowing that God will free me from anxiety. God will free me from anxiety, because with God, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's stand together and pray. Let's stand together and pray and just continue to worship the Lord this morning. Thank you so much for your patience as we just continue to pray for you and for those struggling. That is our heart. That is my heart, to help, to encourage, to come alongside. You are not alone. You are not alone. There is no judgment here. We are here to help and encourage and pray for. I'll be here at the front this invitation time. I have my wife Karen, who will be here also, and then Tara Anderson's going to be over here, because some of you ladies might want to come and pray with ladies. And if you want to do that, these ladies are going to be down here at the front. We got Jeff over here, one of our pastors. There's Brian and AJ, who are elders. Tara's right here, and I'll be at the front. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, maybe you're struggling and you want us to pray for you. We are here for you. I invite you to come. Or maybe it may be something else. You may be coming just to pray for somebody else who's struggling. It may be something that you personally, or a friend or a family member, or a mom or a dad, or you, just wherever you find yourself, if you are seeking first the kingdom of God, this is another way we do it, by praying. So we invite you to come this morning. We're going to sing in just a moment. Listen, if you're here this morning, maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never surrendered your life to Him. And today God's drawing you to Him. We invite you to come. I'll be right here at the front. Others, we will talk with you. We'll pray with you. We'll lead you in that prayer as you surrender your life to Jesus. We invite you to come. Maybe you just want to come and kneel at the altar and pray. Come with a friend, however the Lord leads you. Father, I thank you for every single person in this room this morning. Every single person. I pray that they will know they are loved. They are valuable. That they will see themselves as you see them, God. And may we here at Grace Point continue to extend our hand to help those hope and encouragement. So this time, all this time is yours, Lord. This time is yours. May you do in the hearts of your people exactly what you want to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's continue to worship this morning.